All right. I am here with Connor Marshall, formerly a graduate assistant with the Oklahoma State University baseball team. And now he is a history teacher and coach at Milano High School in Milano, Texas. This interview is being conducted on Zoom. Today is November 6th, 2021, and the interviewer is John Sarvila. Connor, thanks for joining me.
Appreciate it. Yeah, of course.
Could you first, before we get into any further detail, could you talk to me about your upbringing and what brought you to OSU? Like, where are you?
Yeah, I was originally born in Fort Worth, Texas, and then we actually lived. I spent a couple years there, and then my family lived in my dad's job. We moved to Duncan, Oklahoma, and so my dad actually has gone to Oklahoma State as a graduate student. And he was hired out by Halliburton before he finished his degree, but always loved Oklahoma State. His dad, so my grandpa, had gone to Oklahoma State as an undergrad. My uncle, my dad's brother, had gone to Oklahoma State. So a lot of us had gone to Oklahoma State, or a lot of my family had gone to Oklahoma State. And we used to go up and visit, like, in games and stuff. We'd go to the homecoming when we lived in Duncan, stuff like that. And then we moved down to the Woodlands, Texas. After my little brother was born, we spent 3 years in Duncan, I think.
And that's just north of Houston?
Yeah, the Woodlands, yeah, is 40 miles north of Houston.
Okay.
And obviously, you know, my dad was always a Cowboy fan, so we always had Cowboy games on. At the time, I was a Longhorn fan, but as I grew older, I saw the light. When I started thinking about where I wanted to go to school, like actually thinking about it in high school, the only place I applied to was OSU. And I talked to, when I played baseball in high school, I talked to some other schools, but nothing ever materialized. So I was just going to go to OSU and do academics. And then my high school coach, we had a kid who was a year older than me in high school who was actually supposed to have a scholarship to go to Oklahoma State before he got drafted. So my high school coach knew Coach Holiday at OSU and put us in touch while I was up on my freshman orientation kind of visit deal in the summer. And so I got to go meet with Coach Holiday and talk, you know, just kind of sat down and talk. And we probably were there for, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour. And I told him that, you know, I would love to still be involved with baseball. I was a catcher. He said that, hey, we need a bullpen catcher. And do you want to do that? And I said, of course, I'd love to. And it turned into me as an undergrad for my 4.5 years of undergrad, bullpen catching for Oklahoma State. And then when I came back for grad school, for what ended up being 2.5 years, I was a graduate assistant. So I was involved with Oklahoma State baseball for 7 years.
So obviously you're a legacy. That's clear. You're from a long line of OSU people.
Yeah, my cousin's actually there now. So,
oh yeah, yeah. So other than baseball, what did you do during undergrad?
Scholastically.
Yeah.
So I studied secondary education, social studies. So to be a history teacher, I minored in. They've changed it, so I don't remember what it is now, but at the time it was coaching science, I believe, is what they called it. Now they've moved it to a major. It's become a major, and they changed the name, so I don't remember what it is now, but at the time it was a coaching science minor. And then when I came back for my graduate degree, I did it in the history department.
Okay.
Master's in history.
So what are some things you remember most about being an undergraduate with the baseball team during those 4 years? Let's just concentrate on those 4 years. And when did you start? What year?
I started in the fall of 2014. Yeah, fall of 2014.
That would put you at 2020 graduate, not 2020.
No, I ended up graduating. I would have been 2018, but I came back for an extra semester. As an undergrad. So I graduated in, December of 2019.
Oh, yeah, 14 to 18, 19. Yeah, that makes sense. My math was just off.
No, yeah. Sometimes I forget to.
Yeah. Just a quick thing with your camera. Is there a way we can put it down somewhere so that it stops moving around?
Yeah, my bad.
Let me see. No, that's fine.
Let me see if I can find that one. Oh, boy. How's that?
That's perfect.
Better? Okay.
Can still hear you and everything. All right. So, yeah, you were an undergrad with the baseball team from 2014 to 2019. What do you remember most about those 4 years? Or are there anything interesting that you remember?
In 2016, we went to the College World Series. It doesn't get much more interesting than that, I guess. But all the road trips, I remember all the places we went to for the most part. The just being around the guys, honestly. I mean, there's a lot that happened. It's kind of like run-of-the-mill stuff that you just remember. Being in the locker room, you know, different series, different road trips. It all just kind of – it kind of not blends together, but just kind of, you know, kind of piles up. Just everything – you kind of remember everything. You get to talk with some of the guys, and you're like, hey, remember this, remember that. There's a ton of guys that came through, guys that I played with that are now in pro ball. Get to watch them in the, you know, the biggest stage in the MLB. But, there's – I'd say probably the College World Series is kind of at the top of that list just because that's the pinnacle where you want to get to in college baseball.
So who did you catch for who's now playing in the majors right now, just out of interest?
Well, the biggest name would be Coda Glover, who pitched for the Nationals he was their closer for three or four years. He was their closer in 2019 when they won the World Series. I think he was actually injured at the time, but he started that year as their closer. Some other guys that have gone on, Thomas Hatch, who pitches for Toronto Blue Jays. I caught him a lot. I helped him with his rehab in 2014, 2015 after he tore his UCL. Donnie Walton, who's a shortstop. I didn't catch him, but I played with him, who's with the Seattle Mariners now. Some guys that are still waiting to kind of break through. Trey Cobb with the Mets organization. Tyler Buffett, who's since retired, but he made it with the Cincinnati Reds. The Battenfield brothers, Blake, who is with the White Sox organization, and then his little brother, Peyton, who is with the Rays organization. Michael Freeman, who was drafted by Houston, who's since retired. That's all that I can think of right now. I know there's some more that I'm forgetting, unfortunately, but those are the ones that come to mind right now.
I mean, it's a successful team. What can I say?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there was a lot of good arms that came through our program.
I think we talked about it a little bit before, but as an undergrad, what exactly was your role with the baseball?
So I think if you looked at through the eyes of the NCAA, I think my title was student manager, which is basically what it sounds like, student manager. There's a whole bunch of different roles you can do as a student manager. Mine specifically was bullpen catcher. So basically I would help during practice with the pitching staff. I'd help with other things too, you know, shagging BP, fielding, you know, helping pitchers with fielding practice. I did a lot of stuff during my time as a bullpen catcher. You know, I would fill in during scrimmages or during base running practice or something and throw down, give the guys a look. But my kind of main thing was getting in the bullpen, working on pitches and things with the pitchers to help them get better and prepare for games, warming them up during games, that type of thing.
So you were a more active student coach. What were – or not coach, student
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, support role, support staff.
Were there other undergraduates who did the same – not your same exact thing, but what did some of the other students do?
There were equipment guys. Normally, when we had a student manager come in, they were equipment, something to do with equipment manager. So we had, probably in my time, we probably had five to seven different guys come in as undergrads to do equipment manager stuff. We had a couple guys, guys and girls come in with our training staff and work on that kind of side of things as undergrads. We had some kind of video and stat people come in and work as undergrads, but that was about it.
That's still quite a bit.
Yeah.
So you graduated with your undergrad in 2019, and then you've already mm-hmm. mentioned that you went to graduate school. When were you in graduate school again?
Right after I graduated. So spring of 19, all of 2020. And then, it would have been 2021. Yeah. That extra semester because of COVID.
Okay. Why did you decide to go to graduate school?
Well, my kind of dream career always was teacher coach. That was always something I wanted to do. And then I realized that you needed kind of one of those unwritten rule things more than anything else. But if you want to coach in college, which is something I would be interested in doing, you'd need a master's in something. And so I was toying with the idea of going to graduate school. And then I actually had an undergraduate professor who I had for several classes, Dr. Miller, who's in the Oklahoma State History Department. I had him for several undergrad classes, and he said, hey, you know, I think you'd be a great fit. And, you know, kind of just gave me he didn't talk me into it anymore. It was more of giving me kind of the confidence to pursue it. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Schauer as well, both of whom I ended up having on my committee. They both kind of, you know, talked me through it. Dr. Miller was, you know, instrumental in helping me kind of get my packet together and, again, give me that confidence to kind of pursue it. So I went ahead and I did it right after graduate, sort of right after undergrad, because I figured, you know, I don't want to start working and then it be something I have to kind of quote unquote find time to do. I'd just rather go straight into it. And then it also worked out because the athletic department baseball helps you when you go through and you have a job with them, they help you pay for it. So it worked out on that side as well, on the financial side as well. So that's why I decided to go ahead and just pull the trigger and go for it right after graduation.
Okay. Let's stay with the academic stuff for your graduate school first. So what exactly did you study and what was kind of like your thesis, your grand thesis?
My thesis was on Vietnam from 64 to 68, basically looking at whether or not the U.S. could have won the Vietnam War in those 4 years, which I argued they could have had they done a few things differently with the military application side of it. That was what I studied.
Okay. How many classes did you take per semester? I don't know if you took any more or less during your time season.
So in the fall, I would usually try to take 3 classes, and then in the spring, I would take 2. So was that 9 and 6 hours? 9 in the fall, and then 6 in the spring.
Yeah, and that comes up to 15, which we all have to take. Yes. So let's move back to baseball here. Did you essentially retain your position with the baseball team, or was it a new type of position?
Again, in what I actually did, it was essentially retaining my position. In the eyes of the NCAA, it's a different position where I'm now actually, I'm not a student manager. I was part of the actual staff now. So there's, and that's just, you know, technicality things, so I can do a little bit more. I'm still there's some rules about, you know, how many people can quote unquote actually coach and things like that. But I'm able as a graduate assistant, I'm able to do a little bit more, be around a little bit more. I'm counted differently in the eyes of the NCAA. But yeah, I essentially retained my position. Still helped out with, you know, batting practice and defensive practice and things like that around the field. But basically did the same thing.
But you mentioned you did have more access as a coach. How what did that look like? Like, what were you not able to do as an undergrad that you were able to do as a graduate student?
So it didn't – you can bring more staff members, like, as a part of the staff on road trips. Now, it didn't really affect me because in undergrad, I was still one of the kind of non-staff, like, support role guys that was brought along on road trips and stuff. So I still made all the road trips. I think there was maybe one a year that I didn't go on just because of usually flight tickets, like how many tickets we were purchasing for a flight. And it was early on in the season when we were bringing the whole team to get looks at guys in games. Mm-hmm. I was when COVID hit, I became one of the guys that helped deliver food to the players when we have our team meals. That was one of my roles as a staff member. Those type of things.
Okay. So as a graduate student, could you explain what your day-to-day would have been like on working as a graduate student versus working as a graduate assistant, plus like what free time you had? And let's start like in preseason, like the fall.
Okay. Our grad school classes are usually in the evening. So I would get up, we'd normally have practice. We usually have to be at the field about 1. We would get there. Normally what happens is from 1 to about 2, we have kind of what we call early work. So certain guys would come in and get whatever kind of extra work they needed to, whether it was work in the cages, you know, some defense stuff. Occasionally, if a pitcher had a class, a conflict with something going on in practice, some of our pitchers would come in early, get their throwing program or bullpen in, whatever it was. That would go on for about an hour. We would stretch and kind of actually start practice at about 2. And then we would go into our actual practice. So in the fall and the off season, until except for a month, basically for the month of October, we're allowed to be together as a team. So we do inter squad stuff, scrimmages, that type of thing. That usually takes about 4 hours of the day right there. When we're not in October, we have to do what's called individual practice, which is basically you do it by position group. You just can't have the whole team together. So, you know, for the first, you know, hour and a half or whatever, you might have the outfielders doing their hitting rotation, batting practice, that type of stuff, while the infielders are on our half field doing, you know, working on double plays, working on ground balls, that type of thing. And then you switch halfway through practice. So the infielders move to batting practice. The outfielders would move to, you know, the half fielder. Even sometimes just kind of off to the side on the main field, the main diamond, working on cutoffs, working on fly ball communication, that type of thing. Then usually at the end of practice, everybody kind of comes back together and gets in the weight room, and we cycle through groups in the weight room just because of size numbers. You have pitchers that are there doing their bullpens, doing their throwing program, long toss, catch play, that type of thing. And then at about 5 would be into practice. And a lot of times you'd have dinner. The players would get dinner fed to them Monday through Thursday nights. And pre-COVID, it was up in the football stadium at that little athlete restaurant deal up there. With COVID, the food was delivered to them because we had to be separate. And then I would go to class. I'd get my academics done and then go home, go to bed, wake up, do it again the next day.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a a restaurant type thing at the.
Yeah, it's just athletes only. It's it was originally just excuse me, originally just like football team, and then there's like a if you pay for it or whatever, if you're, which most of the sports programs do now, mm-hmm. you can go up there and they cook you food. And it's actually through our, our hotel hospitality, department, yeah. right there in, human sciences, I think right there. That department is the one that actually cooks the food, and, they'll cook you meals in season. They cook you pregame meals and stuff like that, and they'll bring them down to the field. So.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I didn't know there was like a clubhouse, essentially.
Yeah.
That's yeah. It's like a major league stadium.
It really is.
So before we move on, I'd just like to know what you thought it was like to live in Stillwater prior to COVID. Just think about
I loved it.
March 2020 and earlier.
I loved it, honestly. I mean, I just came back for homecoming last weekend, and I mean, it's one of those places that what I tell people is if Oklahoma, the state, paid their teachers more and there had been a position open either at Stillwater High School or if I had been able to get a position with Oklahoma State now or whenever in the future, I would come back in a heartbeat.
That's good to hear. So I guess let's switch down to 2020. So how was the 2020 season shaping up prior to March?
So we
I think your last game was March 11th.
Yeah, it was
St. Louis University.
Yep. In Allie P. Reynolds Stadium, our old baseball stadium, which is the stadium I spent all my undergrad and my first year and a half, I guess, of graduate school in. When we got shut down, we were a week and a half away from opening up Oberate Stadium, which is our new stadium, against TCU, the first series of Big 12 conference play. So we were looking forward to that. We were doing pretty well at the time. I don't remember what our record was. It was kind of regular preseason things. It was still, you know, we're playing pre-conference series. It's still a little chilly outside. We're still kind of working through growing pains, which you do at the beginning of every season. we were about to play BYU. No, maybe BYU.
You guys played BYU the series before St. Louis.
Okay,
who looked like Fresno State?
Fresno. That's what it was. It was Fresno, and Fresno had been at Utah or Utah State that weekend that we played St. Louis, and they were supposed to come straight to us. And I don't know if you remember, but the Utah Jazz were one of the first NBA teams that had positive cases. And since Fresno had just been at Utah, in Utah, that series was canceled immediately. And they gathered us in the locker room and they said, look, everybody kind of knows what's been going on here. We've been hearing about this whole pandemic thing. Basically, the everything is shut down for at least the next week. So they sent us home for a week, or they gave us the opportunity to, mm-hmm. to go home for a week, which most of us took, because in the spring, besides, you know, maybe 3 days when your parents or family come up, you don't get to see your family. You don't get to relax much. So we all kind of took that opportunity to go home. And they said, look, come back on. I think they told us, they gathered us in the locker room on Monday, I think, right after that St. Louis series. And they said, come back on Friday or Saturday. We'll have more information for you. Okay. So that's what we did. I went home for 5 days, whatever it was, 4 days. I came back and they gathered us in the locker room that next day. And they said, season's over. They'd canceled everything.
Oh, wow.
They canceled the College World Series before we even made it back. So we all kind of knew what was coming.
So before we get any further into those issues, when did you first hear about COVID? if you can remember. Because I don't remember when I first heard about it.
I mean, I don't have a date in my it's not one of those things where there was a date, because we were really, our coaching staff especially was really good about helping us kind of stay locked in with what we had. We were a very stay within ourselves kind of group. It was a keep your mind in the locker room type thing. Mm-hmm. So they tried to keep us, to help us stay away from, you know, speculation and outside, any outside kind of talking that would might tear a team apart, you know. And that wasn't just this 2020, it was every year. That was something they preached every year, just so that, you know, because you get things like in regular years, you get things like the draft, or you get things like, you know, parents or friends are, oh, why aren't you playing, blah, 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 you should be playing over so-and-so, things like that. And that those things kind of tear teams apart. Mm-hmm. When you let that get in the locker room. So they were really good about helping us stay kind of together in mind as well as, you know, spirit as well as body, if you will. So I don't really remember the day I first heard about COVID. I mean, I remember there were things that came up, you know, that pop up on, you know, your news app or whatever on your phone about there's a new sickness going around in, you know, parts of Asia, and it's, you know, spreading to different parts of Europe, and now it's on the mainland in the U.S. So I remember those type of things, but I don't think I was ever, I think like a lot of people, I don't think I was ever super, super worried about how it was going to affect me personally. So there's not like a day where I'm like, I remember it exactly, except for maybe that day in the locker room when they canceled our series or canceled our season and everything.
So what issues have most concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic, just in general or yourself?
I mean, one of the big things, especially once it kind of got in the main, I guess, lack of better term, main swing of things, like we got shut down and sent home and everything, it was a lot of my family, because, you know, my grandparents are older. A couple of my grandparents are more susceptible to – my grandpa had cancer at the time and was trying to deal with that while this pandemic's going on. So we were really worried about making sure they stayed safe, making sure we were supposed to go see them in that summer. That trip got canceled. Well, I've got family that still lives in Albuquerque with where they live, and they used to see each other every day, obviously, and that kind of changed because they had little kids. My aunt and uncle have little kids, and so we didn't want them accidentally carrying it to my grandparents. I have friends and friends that, you know, their grandparents are older and more susceptible, so we couldn't really hang out and do anything, so it became kind of lock yourself in your house and be careful. Like even when you go get, you know, breakfast at McDonald's in the morning one day or something, you know, if you're trying to go grocery shopping, make sure you kind of stay away from everybody, make sure you're wearing your mask, make sure you're, you know, disinfecting everything, that type of thing. So that's, it just kind of became more of a pay more attention to details, make sure you're kind of focused on what's going on around you, your environment, make sure you're staying safe.
Yeah. So you already mentioned that when you realized that, COVID was going to like cancel your season, it was, you know, Fresno State, when that series was canceled, that you realized that there was something up. But were there any moments before during that season where you thought, oh, this might cancel some games?
No, I don't think so. We were all still under the impression that, hey, we're going to get to play in this new stadium this year. We get to open it up against TCU in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, depending on what time we were looking at it. We just need to keep working. We need to get better. We've got a chance to go to Omaha here. So let's just focus on that. And that's how it was up until, I mean, really that probably 5-day stretch where things started getting canceled and then we finally got shut down.
And by Omaha, you are referring to the College World Series?
Yeah.
Just for clarification. So what were the thoughts of the coaching staff and the team, like, right after the Fresno State cancellations?
It was an oh shit moment, if you will. I mean, pardon the French, but it was everybody. There were tears in the locker room when we got shut down because we didn't know. It was before the NCAA had offered, had said that they were going to give that year of eligibility back to seniors. So we've got seniors in the locker room who we're never going to see again in our minds at that point. This is the way they're going out, which really sucks. We didn't have a lot of information either when it was still a very fluid situation as far as how everything was going to work out. So it was just kind of an oh no moment. And we were trying to figure out where to go from here. And our coaches, again, they're very good about keeping us in the moment and kind of together. So, you know, they're letting us know, hey, as we find out more, we'll let you know more. And we've got, you know, different ways of communication. We had, you know, GroupMe. So anytime the coaches got information, it was sent out in the GroupMe, and that was how we kind of stayed together. Once we kind of dispersed and went home.
Who are the members of the coaching staff at this point?
Josh Holliday is our head coach. Rob Walton was our pitching coach. Marty Lees was our assistant coach. Robin Ventura was one of our student managers, who he was taking undergrad classes and finishing his degree, and came back as a student manager. And then Matt Holliday, who is Josh's little brother and was ex-major league player for years. They were all part of the staff. And then you had Victor Romero, who was at the time our director of operations. Roland Fanning was our player development, head of player development, myself. Hub Roberts, who was another graduate assistant, and I believe that was it. Eli Williams was our trainer.
Okay. And they were all sending you guys information as you got it.
Yeah, for the most part. Most of it came through Josh, just because it was easier for, you know, control purposes, I guess. Not control purposes, but just he was the one that was on a lot of the meetings with the NCAA and stuff like that. So Eli would send us health related information, and then Josh would send us as far as stuff. Josh or Vic normally were instead in charge of stuff from the NCAA. Roland also, if it was academics related, so usually something from the school, it was, hey, this is how we're going to handle classes or whatnot. Roland or Josh would send that out.
Okay. So we've already touched on how the baseball team reacted to the pandemic early on. How did OSU athletics react early on, like in the first couple months to the pandemic?
Shut down, you know, like everything else. And it was there. They basically went off, from what I could tell, but it went off what the NCAA said. I mean, like most people did. Again, nobody really had a lot of information at the time. So we were all trying to kind of figure out how to handle this the best we could.
Mm-hmm.
So when they received information, and there weren't a lot of people, especially at that point in time in my career, a lot of the people that I had come up with as undergrads, even if I'd known them in other athletic teams, they were gone. So I didn't have a lot of insight into what other athletic programs were doing. But from what I could tell, it was kind of the same as baseball. You know, as they got information, it was passed along as well. Everybody was sent home. I think Stillwater, if I remember right, Stillwater was shut down for a certain point of time.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was kind of at home just waiting to hear when we could come back, and how things would be handled once we returned.
So over that summer, was there any like coordinated athletic anything? Like, did any teams do any practices, or were they shut down completely over
the season? It was shut down. It was shut down. There was, you know, it was, at that point, we still didn't even know if we were having any sort of football season. So the football wasn't even having summer practices. We would have been playing into June and July, into June, maybe early July, May, June, and July, if we had been playing. We weren't. Baseball was completely shut down. Softball was shut down. I know those for a fact. Football didn't even have any practices. Basketball wasn't doing anything. You know, soccer wasn't doing anything. It was pretty much all stop.
Did you personally think that you were done with OSU as well, because you were slated to technically graduate?
Well, yeah, I did, and it left a real bitter taste in my mouth. So actually, while I was driving home, when they officially shut us down, I was emailing with Dr. Miller, who is was in charge of, was helping me kind of figure out my scheduling. And I just straight up asked him, I said, is there any way that I can change my schedule and kind of move things around so that I can come back for an extra semester and get one more spring? And he said, yeah. And so we worked on that, and I kind of moved things around so that I would be able to come back for an extra semester and come back for one more spring instead of graduating when I was slated to.
Was it hard to get your GA position graduate assistant position with the baseball team, or was that really easy?
The position, no, that was pretty easy. The financial side of things was much more difficult. Really up until 3 or 4 days before I got back to school, I wasn't sure if I was going to get financial aid. Because they'd made so many budget cuts and things like that. So I spent all summer pretty much applying for different scholarships and financial aid type things, like outside of the school. I ended up not needing them. Luckily, I got financial aid from OSU still. That wasn't apparent until, I mean, like I said, 3 or 4 days before I got back.
Was it just you who was having this issue with getting funding, or was it like every sport?
Every sport. Yeah, there was actually, we had, one of our GAs who came back during COVID, or I guess that next spring back, next fall back, whatever it was, John Littell, he came in with me as an undergrad the same year in 2014. So I've known him really well. His dad is the women's basketball coach at OSU. He actually didn't get funding as a graduate assistant for that first year back I don't know how they decided. It almost seemed like kind of the longer tenured GAs got funding and some got cut off. But me and Hub, at the time, we were, I guess, two of the longer tenured GAs, and we both got our financial aid back for that semester. But the new guys like John did not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when did you come back to Stillwater that fall semester?
As soon as classes and everything were starting, again, I don't have an exact date. It was August, mid-August, like normal.
What do you remember about Stillwater? Had it changed at all, or was it?
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah, everybody's wearing a mask. The campus was still closed. So really we were there for baseball. And we couldn't get together in large groups. So it really became practices got much more drawn out in the fall than they used to be, because we only have X number of players, and we only have 15 guys together at a time or something like that. And when you have a locker room full of 40 guys that you need to get work in during the day, and you know, you've got 2 hours worth of work you need to do, all of a sudden things take much longer to get done because you can only have a certain amount of guys in the facility at a time.
So when did you guys start practicing again?
That first day we were allowed to, that when classes started just like normal. I mean, that was another thing the coaches tried to kind of instill in the post COVID era, if you will, was it was still business as normal. it looks a little bit different, and it's going to feel a little bit different. And we're going to have to do some things to make sure that, you know, we're safe and we're up to code, if you will. But we're going to do this business as normal because they've let us come back and we've got things to do. We're not just going to shut down because things got hard. Basically, we're going to do it safely. We're going to do it correctly, but it's going to be business as normal.
So really, nothing changed except for how you practiced.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part. Yeah. And it was one of those things where we can't let outside influences tear us apart kind of thing. I mean, there were teams even in the fall and into the spring, into the season, Baylor was one, TCU was one. I think even Texas at a third time where there were stretches of two, three weeks where they couldn't practice because they had so many. Baylor was really bad. Where they had to shut down because they couldn't practice because they had not followed the right safety protocol or whatever. They had COVID cases popping up left and right. So we did testing 2-3 times a week. We wore our masks. We had limited numbers at the facility, but it was business as normal. Let's get this done the way we know how.
Okay, you just mentioned a little bit of it, but could you tell me everything that you and the baseball team had to do during the fall to comply with university and NCAA guidelines?
So obviously masks 24/7. If we were outside, it was a little bit more lax because we were kind of spread out over an area. But anytime, even when we were outside, anytime we were in a group, masks had to be worn. We had testing in the fall. We had testing. Well, it happened in the spring too, but in the fall it was 3 days a week. It was usually on Monday or Tuesday. On Tuesday mornings, we would have the throat swab test, so the longer test done, and they would send that off to the lab or wherever they send it to test everybody. We would have that done. And then on usually on Fridays and or Sundays, we had the nose swab done. And that was, we got our results right then, for the most part in 15 minutes. And that was how we kind of kept everybody tested and everything. There was no gatherings, you know, allowed. We didn't have our banquet. We didn't have any of the things kind of we normally do, as far as kind of team gatherings or team outings or whatever, no football games, nothing like that. We had to find ways to kind of keep ourselves entertained at the facility. Dinners were kind of, like I mentioned earlier, instead of them going up to the football stadium where they normally are, us GAs, we kind of took a daily rotation and we would go meet the cooks basically at the restaurant or at the football field. They gave us big pizza bags full of the team meals and we'd put them in the truck. We'd take them down to the facility and we'd hand them out at the facility. And that was an everyday thing.
So you guys were essentially, the team was a pod.
Yeah.
You didn't really leave the pod.
Yep. It was just us. That was it.
How many positive COVID cases did the team have that year?
I think we finished with like six, and they were all in the fall. We didn't have any in the spring. We'll say 6 to 10 because I might be forgetting a few, but I mean it was under 10, and it was all in the fall.
And that's out of how many people, players, staff, coaches?
I would say probably every day that we were there, I would say 50 to 60.
Wow, so it was pretty effective.
Yeah, we did a pretty good job, I would say, of keeping things safe, I guess.
So let's switch back academically that year, because you are still a graduate student.
Mm-hmm.
How were your remaining classes during the pandemic?
They moved to online, which I think for me personally was a little bit easier than some of the younger undergrad at the time baseball players, but also probably the more general student population, because as an undergrad and definitely as an undergrad, I would take, whether it was the summer or actual, like, you know, semester classes, there were online classes that I would take that just kind of helped out with my baseball schedule. So I would take them online so that, you know, I could meet both needs. So it was something that, and when you're on the road, you know, you're doing your work online anyway, for the most part. So it wasn't foreign to me. Like, I think it probably was to more of the, again, the general student population and some of these undergrads who just come from undergrad athletes that had just come from high school, you know, and were used to in-person classes. So it wasn't the hardest thing for me, which is for any online class, is just making sure you keep up with everything and make sure you know which date is when, because you're only meeting, you know, once a week online instead of in class and stuff like that, making sure you're staying on top of everything.
Yeah. When did you write and defend your thesis?
The spring of, I guess, 2020. Yeah. A little under a year ago now. I was my defense period, my thesis hours. So I defended in April of 2020.
That would have been 2021.
Or I'm sorry, yes, 2021.
Okay, yeah. But you were, when was most of your writing complete?
Probably that semester, honestly. Like January, February was when I really started hitting it hard, and then early April was my defense.
So you were done with most of the groundwork by the time the season started?
That was the goal anyway, too. So over Christmas break, from that stretch where they let us out, I think, at Thanksgiving, and then we didn't come back until January, I was working on the framework, the groundwork of my thesis, and trying to get as much of that done as possible so that I knew things would be different when we came back. So trying to make sure I had as much of that done as possible so I didn't have to worry about it in the spring.
Okay. Yeah, that's smart. But so you graduated, or you defended and then eventually graduated. But then the 2020 season or 2021 season started in February.
Yeah, I think we started pretty close to on time. February, it should have been right around February 14th. 18th or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, from what I remember, you were supposed to play Sam Houston, and that was canceled, that series.
That ended up being canceled actually because of weather. That wasn't COVID cancellation. That was when the snow, I can't remember what my high schoolers call it now, snowpocalypse or whatever, hit, and we couldn't even get down to Huntsville, Texas, as far as, like, safely anyway. So we ended up canceling that, and we played Wichita State at their place instead. But that was a weather cancellation more than a COVID cancellation.
Okay. So how did the team really focus right before the season started with all of the COVID
and everything? It was tough. I mean, we had a lot more to worry about as far as, you know, who we're coming into contact with and, you know, what kind of, I guess, best way to put it would be what germs, you know, we're kind of coming into contact with and bringing back into our house, essentially, our facility. Mm-hmm. And it became, again, our coaches did a great job of, we need to protect ourselves and protect each other. Because, you know, in college, it's easy to want to go. I mean, everybody wants to go out to the bars or go party or, you know, whatever, because you're in college now and it's, you know, kind of the thing to do. And so that was kind of the big thing that they even, you know, just straight out flat out said, like, hey guys, we can't be going and doing this because you don't know what you're bringing back to our place. Mm-hmm. And so that was a major thing we focused on. And when we wanted to go do something, or if we needed to, you know, do some sort of social, we needed to be in some sort of social setting, it was the team only. And it was usually at a place like, we started watching college football at the facility on one of our, in our classroom, in our, we got a big projector kind of classroom thing. And we would watch college football at the facility on Saturday mornings instead of, you know, going to somebody's house and hanging out and watching college, or tailgating and watching college football all week or all day. We did it at the facility. We would hang out at the facility. We'd have dinner at the facility. We did, I mean, the facility literally became our second home. So it was, and for people who aren't, you know, familiar with athletics in general, or especially college athletics, when you get kind of, when you walk through the doors of your locker room or whatever, it becomes a lot easier to focus on what you need to do, because that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a, I had a coach actually in high school, but it was kind of, it was said a different way in college. It's kind of like the Superman mentality, the Clark Kent mentality. Kind of when you get in your phone booth in your facility, you take off your, you know, your reporter's clothes, your Clark Kent clothes, and you put on your Superman outfit. And it's much easier to zone in and kind of lock in that way. Again, there's more things you got to worry about, but once you're all together, you get the team together, you're focused on, you know, what we need to do as a unit. It becomes a lot easier to kind of focus on the things that you need to get done.
I'm sorry, I'm forgetting what I was going to say. What do you remember most about the 2021 season? Were there any highlights?
I mean, yeah, we went and played a super regional. And again, the road trips are fun. I mean, the Big 12 tournament was fun. I remember we made it to the championship game. We lost to Texas, yeah. But that was fun. We played a pretty good – we had some good series at home. We got to open up the series. George Bush came to the stadium and opened it up throughout the first pitch against New Orleans. Vanderbilt got to come to town, which was a fun series. We had some good series against Texas at home. And even going places, you know, going to Fort Worth, going to TCU, going to different towns is a good time. It's just, it turns into something a little bit different. You got more testing that goes on. You got to test as soon as you get off the bus. In whatever town you go to, you got to test Friday before a Thursday night before the game. So there were some more kind of rules and regulations, I guess, that went along with getting that season accomplished and doing it safely. But you're still around the guys and you're still kind of forming those same memories. I mean, that's going to be a season that all of us remember just because of the things we had to go through to get there. But it was still a baseball season. It was still let's come together and do something special.
So you mentioned all of the kind of COVID restrictions and preventions and stuff you had to do, even like going to away games. Did that like affect the team at all throughout the season, or was it just more of an inconvenience?
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of sounding, you know, unsympathetic or whatever, it was an inconvenience more than anything. We did, when we got off for our regional in Arizona, we had to spend an hour testing everybody as soon as we got off the bus at our regional before we could practice or anything. So there's a lot more time that was added into our schedules. You had to, when you get off the bus at whatever town you're in, you're on Thursday, you're testing on Sundays as well. Sunday mornings, whatever town you're in, you're testing. We did get back. Most of us got vaccinated when the school offered the free vaccinations. It wasn't mandatory. They didn't force us to do it, but I think all but a handful of our guys ended up doing it. And it was, for me personally, it was just, it was one less thing I would have to worry about testing wise, because if you were vaccinated, like on road trips and stuff, you didn't have to get that testing. So that's one less thing I got to worry about when we pull into town in Fort Worth or Waco or wherever we were at. That's one less thing I got to worry about. Now, we still did the testing at home. But it was, like I said, on road trips, you want to limit the things you have to worry about because you got enough to worry about already. So I went ahead and did it.
And all of the coaches and staff members were tested the same amount as everyone on the team.
Yeah, it was staff and players.
So I'd say, What would you say, how many times would you say you were tested in a month during the season?
Well, it was at least twice a week, so 8 to 10 times a month probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because even during in the season, we still had those Tuesday tests, and then when we were home, we had the Friday or the Thursday tests. The only time we didn't have to get tested was on the road on Thursdays, basically. So some guys got tested more than 8 or 10 times a month if they weren't vaccinated, but I only probably got tested 8 or 10 times a month.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah,
doesn't sound pleasant.
It was an inconvenience, but it definitely just became kind of part of the everyday life. You had to get used to it quickly.
So let's swing back to the opening of Obrate Stadium. I remember that was a topic of contention that it you guys didn't make it long enough in 2020 to actually open. How did it feel to finally watch the guys play in the new stadium and catch in the bullpen?
I mean, it was phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, I love Alley P. There's a lot of good memories that are over there at Alley P, and if they do end up tearing it down, it's going to be a sad day. But that's an $82 million facility that they just built us over there on that street corner, and it was worth every penny. It's phenomenal. It's top of the line. It's better than I would argue anywhere that we've been. There's a lot more things that we can do in it, even to this day, that we couldn't have gotten done at Alley P, and that other teams, even the Big 12 or outside of the Big 12, can do in their facility. So it was nice to finally. The other thing was a lot of guys, even guys that I had played with that were older than me as a freshman, they had been promised this new stadium, and it just never materialized until this past, I guess, 2 years ago now. So it was nice to finally see it done. And, it was kind of torturous watching it sit there in 2020, knowing that we weren't going to get to play in it, because you can see it from Alley P. So it was kind of torturous not getting to play in it. But once we finally got there, it's kind of like when you're a little kid and you go to your first big league game or something like that, and you get to like see all the guys that you watch on TV, or, you get an autograph from Jeter or something like that, where, it's just really cool moment that you'll remember. Yeah, we moved into it in the fall, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, I remember it was a big celebration.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So how did the season end? What were your standing?
We lost to Arizona in our regional. Sucked.
Yeah.
That was where, because I was done. So it was, and a lot of guys that, the other thing is, especially as you get older, you see these young kids, these freshmen come in that, at this point, the guys that I was kind of finished with, so the seniors at the time were, I was a junior when they came in. So you really see kids grow up. And it's kind of like, it reminds me of like what I do now as a teacher. I teach freshmen, and then I see them kind of, as this year goes on and as the years go on, their career goes on, you see them mature and kind of grow up. And that's what it was for me. The same way in college with these guys, because I saw them come in as freshmen, and you're always kind of like, dude, was I this way as a freshman? Like, these kids are stupid. and then you see them grow up, and you see them turn into the players that they turn into and the guys that they turn into. And I mean, those guys are guys I could call in a heartbeat if I was stuck on the side of the road and they would come get me or whatever, and vice versa. So it was hard. It was hard to deal with in that aspect. It was hard to deal with the fact that I had spent, 7 years of my life. I spent a third of my life at Oklahoma State, and it had come to an end. So it was a really, really bitter pill to swallow. We had a team that we felt could go compete in the College World Series or, deep in the playoffs, and it just didn't work out. It was a tough day, tough pill to swallow. That whole 48 hours coming home really kind of sucked. And then even into the summer, it was one of those things you kind of have – almost withdrawals, because you're not going to get to go back in the fall and be with your guys, and and things like that. And when I came back at homecoming, it was tough because you see what you're kind of missing out on, and you're like, hey man, I really wish I was back here. But it was it was tough, but one of those things.
Yeah, I've got one more question about the baseball team during COVID. Mm-hmm. So how did COVID alter or affect the recruitment? Because if you had guys hanging over from their senior years.
Yeah, so.
OSU team.
It got a lot more packed. I mean, we had guys that we were trying to find spots in different locker rooms. We got several different locker rooms, coaches and alumni locker rooms and stuff. And we had so many guys that not even everybody's in the same locker room. Normally we would have in the fall, we would have 38 to 40 guys that we were on roster in the fall. Come that year, we had like 42, I think. And the NCAA let us keep pretty much everybody on roster. So instead of cutting, you know, X amount of guys to get to our 35-man limit, we ended up just carrying like 42 guys that year, which is a ton in baseball. But, yeah, we had on top of that, we didn't have anybody leave. We had everybody come back, obviously, because they got that extra year of eligibility left. And then we have an additional 10 guys show up. So, you know, it was packed. It was a packed house. But that's just how it was. So it was just one of those things where we got to adjust to it and then just, you know, move forward.
Were other teams in the Big 12 in a similar state with recruiting?
Yeah, I think so. I would say so. I don't know for sure because, you know, I didn't have a lot of guys. I didn't have a lot of connections, again, because of how long I had been there and guys had moved on. I didn't have a lot of connections with other Big 12 teams at that point. Mm-hmm. But from what we heard, what we saw, it was the same kind of across the board.
Okay. So I'm just going to end with a few questions here. You know, we're talking about COVID in last year from, you know, our vantage point of November 2021. So how have your thoughts changed about COVID itself?
I don't think it's changed much. I mean, I know it's a serious – I'm one of those people that tries to just focus on what I can control. And kind of try to stay in the present. And for me, there's no point in worrying about something I can't control, because it's useless, in my opinion. So I do what I can to, you know, stay safe and keep those around me safe and everything. But I think it's just become, and I think this is something that baseball helped with, kind of become one of those everyday things that now you have to focus, or you have to kind of keep in the back of your mind, but not focus on. And just do what you need to do to kind of adhere to whatever rules and regulations you have regarding that, but still do your job. So, that's kind of how I look at it. Mm-hmm.
So, how was your experience with the COVID restrictions and COVID regulations? How did that transform what you think about college baseball in general and OSU athletics?
If anything, it made like athletics and especially with what I was running at OSU, it helps people get comfortable with overcoming uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, everybody's worried about their family and their friends and even themselves when things like that hit. But it's one of those things that, again, let's focus on keeping us and the people we're around every day safe. And everything else will kind of take care of itself, if you will. So it's college sports and OSU, our coaching staff at OSU taught us very well how to handle adversity. And that's something that I've carried with me. And I'm, you know, here in 2 months when I have my first team meeting with my baseball team, is going to be how to handle adversity is going to be one of those first kind of talking points on that day's meeting plan. So handling adversity, they did a great job of helping you with that.
All right. So how is your time at OSU in school, be it undergrad, graduate school, or on the baseball field, helped your career?
Again, handling adversity, getting comfortable handling uncomfortable things. It comes down to our coaching staff, kind of what they preached even before COVID. It was the same message. It was just, we had different things to worry about once COVID hit. So it was very easy for us to come back after COVID and handle business as usual with these extra kind of things that are going on, because that's something they'd always preach. So it wasn't any different except for the things we had to worry about.
So you've been a coach now at the high school level for a semester?
Yeah, pretty much.
This is high school football. How has COVID altered that? I mean, it was probably a while since you were really paid attention to high school football, but how has that altered
high school? Yeah. I mean, I remember it never affected us, luckily, our team, but there are teams that had to forfeit games or move games because of COVID positive tests. We had probably would have – our high school team had two COVID cases, two positives. It didn't shut us down or anything, but there was a stretch there in the – I guess it was probably the fifth or sixth or seventh week somewhere, where kind of early more towards the early semester, the first third of the year, where we had kids dropping like flies with COVID tests, positive tests. So it was tough because it's a little bit different in high school, where the teacher is more and the coach is more, I don't want to say more accountable, but I don't know how else to say this, more accountable for the work that's missed and the what they miss in class. So it puts a little bit extra stress on the teacher, because you have to make sure they get their work, and you keep your track of they were absent from X day to X day, and this is everything they missed, this is everything they need to get done, this is how long they have to do it. So it made things a little bit more difficult there. Again, our football team was never affected by it as far as having to forfeit or move a game. So that was nice. But since then, I think we've only had one or two positive cases, and it's gotten a little bit easier, but yeah.
Okay. So the pandemic continues.
Yeah.
But all right. I think that's all I have. So thanks a lot for sitting down with me and talking.
Absolutely. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good.